Let's all say amen. I want to thank Brother Hill for leading us on this afternoon in our hymns to our God. I'm thankful for each one that's on the call on this afternoon. I'll ask in advance that we allow ourselves, as Brother Williams have said in the past, to focus in on the Word of God at this time. We know we may have challenges in our lives at this time, but what we want to do is place those things on the side that we can focus in on the Word of God so the Word of God can minister to us as God's plan was when he gave man the Word of God. For those that are visiting with us that are not members of the Church of Christ, I would like to start off by saying to you a few things that is found written in the Word of God. One thing is Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah realized that man was not placed here to direct his own life. He would need someone to direct his path or his steps. And then we find that our own Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, said to those that would have an opportunity to become Christians later, when he gave what some refer to as the Sermon on the Mountain, in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So Jesus prioritized life for man when he said that man should seek. There's a lot of things that we can pursue in this life, but Jesus made that priority was the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. And then when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3 and the verse is number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that for which Jesus said one ought to seek. Jesus also said that in order for a man to see it, Jesus said a man would have to be born again, and that's a spiritual birth. And when one is born again, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So that kingdom of God that Jesus said one should see, that one couldn't see until he was born again, that kingdom is referred to also as the church of Christ, and one would have to be added in order to be saved. And at the close of the message, I will give those instructions that if you are outside of the Church of Christ, not a member, that God will give you through his word that opportunity. I want to just apologize at this time. I'm not in an ideal location for my message this afternoon. There may be some background noise. And so at the offset, I apologize in advance, yet and still, I would do the service of sharing the Word of God. We're looking at Peter's second letter, and I hope that the first letter, if you were to follow it, that it did the things that Peter designed for that letter to do for those Christians. And so I want to say that the Apostle Peter writes this second letter to Christians. It was to encourage them to be steady and steadfast in knowledge, faith, and Christian graces. The key note in this letter is the word knowledge. That's the key note in this letter. You'll see where it appears and how often it appears, but the key word is knowledge. This letter discusses spiritual mathematics in the form of addition, things that must be added to our faith. Faith alone will not God won all the way into heaven. There must be some things added. We'll talk about that as we discuss this letter in the form of spiritual mathematics. And then also in this letter, Peter warns against false teachers and the certainty of the Word of God. The Word of God is sure, and also the warning against those that are false teachers. And so for this afternoon, I want to speak from the study that was read in your ear. Thank you for the reader on this afternoon. I want to speak from the subject, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want you to see as we go through this letter that Peter wanted to assure those that are Christians that God has given man everything he needs that pertain to life and godliness or godly living. And so Peter opens the letter by saying, identifying himself. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter here says that he is a servant, and all of us are servants. What is a servant? Servant is one that gives himself to the will of another person. In this case, we are servants to Jesus Christ. We give up our will to do his will. And Peter says, not only that, he says, this was to them being those Gentile Christians, he says, that had obtained the like precious faith that the Jews had, and is through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So in Galatians, look there, I want to show you where Peter talks about that like precious faith, but Paul also mentioned that in Galatians chapter 1. He talks about what that faith is in Galatians 1 and the verses number 23, when the Bible says, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. And so Paul was talking about how he now, at one time, he persecuted the church, but now he preaches the faith, or the faith being the gospel, which once he destroyed. So Peter says about that precious faith, which he's talking about the quality, which is in the faith or is in the gospel, which Paul preaches, and he says that which he has preaches, that precious faith with us, talking about the Jews, and it is through the righteousness of God, our God right dealing with man. God provided equal blessings both to the Jew and to the Gentile, and it's through the death of Christ. Notice in Acts, maybe a familiar scripture to Acts 15, and the verse is number 7. Acts 15. And the verse is number 7, when we talk about how God, the righteousness of God, how God is righteous. Paul wrote, said when Peter stood, Luke wrote it actually, in Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, the Bible says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter, the same Peter who we're looking at his second letter, rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, talking about the Jews, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God now, that is the righteousness of God, in that God dealt with both the Jew and the Gentile. God offered it to the Jew first, as Brother Brooks has shared in his message. It was offered to the Jews first in Acts chapter 2, and then Brother Brooks has recently preached where Cornelius and his family or the Gentiles was offered also the word of the gospel, and they could believe it and obey it. And then he said, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And notice now, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So God gave equal opportunity to both the Jew and the Gentile. He made no difference between them. He allowed all of their hearts to be purified by faith or by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, we see that is the righteousness. God is righteous. As Brother Brooks shared this morning in his message, showing how that in Acts chapter 11, how the word of God was preached first to the Jews in Acts 11:19. He says that in Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jew only. And then we find in verse 20, as Brother Brooks shared this morning, he spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So in Antioch, not only was the word preached to the Jew, but it also was preached to the Grecians, those that were Greek. And so God, that is the righteous God, that God has given all mankind the opportunity to become a Christian to obey the will of God. And then Peter says, as he said in the first letter, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, talking to Christians, through, notice now, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So Peter wants those that are Christians to have favor or kindness from God, and that is through spiritual blessings that God only gives to those that become Christians. And then he talks about peace. We have a life that you want to grow in the word of God, that you find that peace where you are free from the irritations of life, those things that cause a displeasure and anger. You know, as you move forward in the peace side, then you'll find that things that will cause you anger and displeasure will lessen. I'm not as easily angered by things that people may do toward me or at me. I don't find displeasure in those things that used to cause me displeasure. Why? Because God has given me grace and has given me peace, and I have exercised those things in the word of God. And so Peter talks about, again, I told you the keynote word in Peter's second letter is the word knowledge. And he talks about knowledge that we would have of God. And that knowledge is the act of knowing when someone who you have previously known a God, and you have to be taught about God. And so what it does, it connects the subject, which is us, with the object, which is God. And God is our object of worship. And so we find that as I get to know God, I'm ever maturing, but I'm never matured. I'm ever maturing, but I never become mature. Let me show you how in John's writing, in John chapter 6, and the verse is number 45, John chapter 6, when we talk about knowledge of God, notice what Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 45. He said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man, therefore, that have heard and have learned of the Father cometh unto me. So, again, that knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, we have to be taught of God. And I'm saying to all of us, when the time comes, we know we have worship service on morning. We have worship service in the evening. We have even those young men that have the opportunity to preach during the week to those that are available. When the opportunity presents itself that I can receive the knowledge of God, and I don't know about you, but I know the one thing that the year 2020 helped me with moving into 21 was a greater desire to study God's word and to become more knowledgeable in the word of God, to get a better understanding of the word of God. Why? So I can make application into my life that God would have me to do. So Peter says that it should be knowledge, should be something of God. You all should be taught of God, learn about God, learn about how God has dealt with man in the past, in the Old Testament. As Paul said, things written aforetime was written for our learning. We learn about God. And so a forefront of our lives, it should be gaining greater knowledge of God in this walk. And then Peter says in verse number 3, according as his divine power has given unto us, watch the title, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and it's through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Notice again what Peter says. The word divine simply means coming from God. So Peter says that God has given us power. And what he has given us, that we may have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And that all things is through the knowledge of God, who has called us through obedience to glory and virtue. Yeah. So how does his divine power work in the life of the Christian to glory and virtue? Well, look with me in Ephesians chapter 1, and the verse is number 17, where we can find how that divine power works in the life of the Christian, and it is to our glory and virtue. Notice what the Bible says in Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the, notice again now, the knowledge of him. We got to learn about Jesus and about God, and I'll talk about that once we get into the spiritual mathematics of the word of God. He says now, watch this, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So again, Peter, Paul says that your spiritual eyes will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of, notice now, his power to usward who believe according to the workings of his mighty power. So we see in that writing, we see that power that works in the life of the Christian to the glory and virtue. He says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So again, we talked about, Peter talked about how God, through the death of Christ, God showed his righteousness to the Jew and the Gentile. And it was through Christ who he raised from the dead, and now Christ sits at the right hand of God in heavenly places. And so that leads us to the reason for what Peter writes in the next verse when he says, whereby, going back to Peter's letter, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And I mentioned a few of those. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So Peter says, God, whereby, what God has given unto us, those things that pertain unto life and godliness, Peter says, those things whereby are given unto us also great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partakers. Partakers simply means a partner. We that are Christians have that relationship as a Christian with the Lord. He says, and also of the divine nature. Divine nature are God's holy character. And we'll talk about those. And we get those having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And when we look at the world, when we look at all the evil, all the bad that is going on in the world, it is through the lust or the desires of men to do those things that are not consistent with the word of God. You know, we have law and law enforcement because we need those things to keep man in place and to keep order in the world, because man, if it was left up to him, would do things only that pleased him and not what pleased his fellow man. But we as Christians, we are those examples that man ought to have in this life. We are to allow those to see our life in Christ and how we walk among one another, how we love and show love toward one another, that others can see the love of God in us. And Peter said that these precious promises, and when I think about promises that God has given to us, the first I think about what Peter mentioned about that obtain that light, precious faith, that precious faith that we obtained through obedience was the forgiveness of sin. When I think about those precious promises that God has given to man, and I'll share that for those that are on the call that's not Christian, how one must obey God, must be obedient to the will of God to receive the promise that God has offered of salvation to those that are obedient to him. So God have offered man salvation, a precious promise that man, once this life is in, can live eternally with God through his obedience to God and the commands of God. As man takes on that divine nature or liken himself to God, and he walks like God. Paul says, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. Christ is that example that Peter said in his first letter. Christ is that example, and we try to trace Christ's walk in this life that we can be more like Christ. We can develop the humility that Christ has. We can learn to love brethren as Christ loved us even though we were in our sins. So when I think about that, those promises, the forgiveness of sin is one. When I think about a promise of God, we talk about being added to the church. Now we are in the family of God. God has a family. Paul talked about that in Ephesians 2:15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So one a promise now. Now we all have physical families, biological families, but now we have a spiritual family through our obedience. That is a promise that God has given to man, that through your obedience, now you become a part of God's family. Now Christ become our eldest brother. We become a child of God. We become sons of God. Those sisters in the Lord, you become daughters of God. But now you are in a spiritual family. And then, as was stated previously, we have in that light, precious faith through the righteousness of God, we now have eternal life. We have eternal life. When this life is over, we know that when this life is over, that we have, as Paul said to those in Thessalonica, he said to them in 1 Thessalonica chapter number 4, verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul wrote to them, he said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We have hope. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And notice what Paul said. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We need to be comforting each other with the words, knowing that if we are alive when the Lord comes, we have not died, but you have to die in Jesus. You have to die in Christ. Those that are in Christ, that we would not precede them, but God has made it such that those individuals also will be with the Lord, and we that are alive will be with the Lord. And so that eternal life we have obtained through our obedience, and it's our responsibility. And that's why Peter wrote this letter, was to strengthen those in their walk, to allow you to have the faith necessary and to add to your faith. We'll talk about that as we move forward in this letter. But those things that are necessary that will fortify the Christian, that you have the strength necessary to live for the Lord. And so, again, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we'll look at how we grow in that godliness as we look at our next letter, our next sermon, dealing with those additions that we must add to our faith. Faith only, faith alone is not enough. You have to add those things that we'll find in the Word of God. And if you are on the call this afternoon, or you someone invited you to the call, and you are not a member of the Church of Christ, how does one obtain life precious faith and become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ? Well, we've been talking from Peter's first letter, and I like how Peter styled it in 1 Peter 3:18-21. 1 Peter 3:18, Peter said, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So what you find in 1 Peter 3:18 in other areas of the Bible, as we read today, is referred to as the gospel, that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. He died for our sin, that he might bring us to God, allow us to be connected to God. Through our obedience, he was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive again by the Spirit. And then the Bible says in verse number 20, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, water being the type. And then he says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism, the antitype, doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, and it is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what am I saying? If you're on the call this afternoon, as Brother Brooks shared, we had one obey the Lord yesterday. He heard the gospel, the three facts concerning Jesus Christ, died for his sins, was buried, rose again the third day. He believed that which was said in the Bible. He repented of his sin, meaning he turned toward God, toward Christ. He made the statement that one must make in obedience, according to Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then he culminates that obedience, as we just read in verse 21, in baptism, being water baptized for the remission of your sins. Then, as we see in Acts 2:47, then the Lord will add you to the church of Christ, the only church you can read about in the Bible. If there's someone today, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, but in order to live, to receive those spiritual blessings and to live godly, one must first be obedient to God. And the initial obedience is one hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of sins, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, and then culminating that obedience in water baptism for the remission of your past sin. And the Lord himself, according to Acts 2:47, will add you to the Church of Christ. If you are subject to the invitation, have the person that invited you on the call to get in touch with us so we can do as one did, if it was yesterday or the day before, adding that person to the Lord through water baptism. I thank you very much for your patience on this afternoon in hearing the Word of God, gaining knowledge about God. Thank you very much.